Today on Seculo, the party's over. Hunter Biden faces 17 years in prison.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo, folks. We are taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. I will tell you this, wasn't necessarily expecting this surprise before the holidays began, whether it was the first night of Hanukkah or even getting close to Christmas, and that they were coming out of California. But you now see, again, when you've got all these special counsels all across the country with investigations, you never really know what's going to happen until things are filed. And we saw last night a major six-count indictment filed.
Nine-count indictment filed.
Six alleging, again, separate different misdemeanors. And then we got felonies as well. Three different felonies charges as well. So, I mean, this, again, it's tax dollars. It's Hunter Biden. It's about $1.4 million. He has paid this back to the IRS. So the question now is the criminality.
You don't eliminate the crime by, after the IRS notifies you, you paid the tax. If you would have done it before you were notified by the IRS, they wouldn't bring a criminal case. Normally, it's in the IRS manual that way. But if you are notified by the IRS that you have this deficiency and it's of this proportion, they could make it a civil fraud case, or they can make it a criminal fraud case. They did here. You have nine counts total, three of which are false or fraudulent returns. Those violations, 7206, are felonies. You've got one count of evasion, which is a 7201 charge, and then six counts of the misdemeanor, which is the failure to file and pay taxes. So, I mean, it's not likely that he'd get 17 years in jail, and it's also likely that this is going to be pled out because a lot of the misdemeanor claims, Jordan, will merge into the felony claims. But the only reason this has happened, people need to understand this, is those whistleblowers. Okay, we represent some of those whistleblowers, but it is the whistleblowers that reported all this when Weiss came in, the special counsel, and said, "Hey, I'm limited on what I could do."
Right.
Even though they were prepared at that time to make the charge.
Remember that whole back and forth over, does he actually have the ability to bring charges wherever he wants to bring it? Then that was before he was made a special counsel.
Correct.
Then he's made a special counsel, and he starts bringing charges in places like California, but I don't think any of these charges would have been brought, but for those IRS agents, FBI agents who went forward and said, listen, we were in the meetings where they said he tried to go in D.C. and D.C. said no. He tried to go here and they would say no. And he did not really have the power, and the Department of Justice had their associate on him, their assistant on him. But again, I think that one thing people are, I'm sure, wondering about, and we do want to answer right off the bat, is in this so far, because this is the same time while the House is putting forward, you know, an impeachment inquiry, not of impeachment Joe Biden, but an impeachment inquiry. Joe Biden is not mentioned in this at all. So we have, you know, just for everybody to be clear.
There's no allegations against the president. There's no allegations against his brother. It's just a tax case against Hunter Biden. Here's the thing you need to ask yourself, and I know this may not be popular. You realize what's happening right now in the United States of America? The leading Republican for president, the nominee, is Donald Trump. He has four federal criminal tax cases. Well, three in a state case in Georgia. And then a civil fraud case in New York as well. That's against the sitting president and special counsel out of Washington, D.C. Joe Biden, the likely Democratic nominee, has a special counsel also out of Washington. Okay? And now his son has been indicted 6 weeks before, not even 5 weeks before, the Iowa caucus. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah, 1-800-684-3110. Want to get your thoughts?
I don't like the FBI and DOJ doing any of this, actually.
Yes. Well, this is what we talk about. When you get a month before the election, you start wondering if these charges should be filed because the impact they can have on the election and on the vote.
But let me tell you this. Our whistleblower clients did the right thing.
Yes.
And I'm glad they got response. So, folks, we're in the beginning of our Faith and Freedom year-end drive. Yesterday, we asked callers in why they supported us. Laverne said, I'm an ACLJ champion. Love supporting you because of all the great work that you're doing. Same thing from Annabelle. We want you to join us as well. Go to ACLJ.org. And you can help us in our global fight and our coast-to-coast fight here in the United States. ACLJ.org. Your gift will be matched.
I mean, one common thread from this news, which, again, I think that anytime the legal system works this way, people are a little bit shocked because they feel like, you know, we just went through the weight of the legal system going against Donald Trump, and it's still not even comparable to this. I mean, this right. would be like nothing. I mean, could you imagine this, if this is all Donald Trump was facing?
But you realize, I don't know this if it'll is be actual. News. But here's the thing: the difference is this is actually these are real tax charges.
These are easy this, crimes to understand.
Yeah, the stuff they've charged Donald Trump with, like the January 6th stuff. I mean, there's serious First Amendment issues there. The documents issue, you know how murky that is.
That
so
New
let's
York
look at what the business. Thing, the New York business records thing. So, I mean, in yeah. one sense, this is a much more straightforward case.
Right. This is the kind of crimes people understand, which is failure to pay your taxes.
Right.
And you knew you were not paying your taxes, and they were telling you to pay your taxes, and you decided, you know, you didn't. So you didn't file that you couldn't, or you didn't file that a plan to do it. Now, right. ultimately, he did. But he did it outside. He did it after being notified that, hey, you owe this much in taxes. So again, some of this statute of limitations had to be very close on because we're talking about, you know, 2015, 2016 on some of this stuff. And it doesn't read well for the former vice president's son, but nothing has really read well for him. He and the president has been able to say he was a drug addict.
Yeah.
A lot of these things were happening while he was yep. a drug addict. And that's kind of how the president's handled it.
Yeah. What do you think about that? I mean, politically, probably parentally it's the right thing, but politically?
Politically,
what does this do politically in your view?
You know, at this point, with what you just went through, I mean, the amount of charges, it's not like you want to live in a country where, again, that these people are above the law, but because they are running for office or they're the son of someone running for office and people are going to be voting on them in a month, if they apply the same standards to us, I don't think I would support bringing these this kind of charge a month before.
Because nine
they shouldn't
counts.
Be doing it to Donald Trump either.
No, they should not be
it's
doing
it. It's like the one in Georgia trying to bring it, what, March 5th, the day before Super Tuesday?
They shouldn't be
All
doing it.
All of this is kind of, ugh.
They should not be doing it to any of them, right, frankly.
Gross.
Yeah. It is. It's tawdry. It's disgusting.
We're giving over too much power to the DOJ. Because this is, now I like the fact
we're telling them the truth. I understand why the charges were brought.
Yeah,
and the whistleblowers did the right thing.
Yes, because
but we are giving a lot of power to the Department of Justice 4 weeks before a caucus.
Right. And I thought they had all those policies to say we're not going to get involved in elections.
They're going
to
say it was this Jim is the son. Comey, not, they're going to say this is the son, not the.
Yeah, I think he's way too connected to the father.
I know.
He's there. He lives there. He's seen with him all the time. And again, does it affect? You know what? You'd have to really ask: Is this a move by Democrats to move Joe Biden out? I don't think people are necessarily not voting for Joe Biden.
I think you're right on that, by the
it's
way.
It's more of like of the pile-on of Joe Biden.
Well, I want, you know,
we saw a pile-on of Donald Trump, and it made him stronger.
Yeah. And it maybe it does here, too. I don't know. But here's what I did notice. If you notice the language on the other networks, like CNN, MSNBC, they're all calling for Joe Biden to step aside. They're saying uh-huh. things like this. You had Laura Coates say, question his senility issue, yeah. which they were not getting near. You had this Axelrod and Carville have been saying, you know, very vulnerable. Other Democrats are coming out saying we need a younger, stronger candidate. So now do they use this as a pile-on? Then you wonder, is this, I hate to say deep state for them, in the deep state, but that's, is this the deep state trying to knock out the Democratic nominee because the deep state wants a different Democratic nominee? And the fact that you have to even think this way tells you how much power they're wielding.
Yes, that they were just wielding way too much power in Washington, D.C.
And too much influence.
And too much influence, too much time focused on politicians and their families. And again, if you had all this information, and we know that some of this, listen, some of this was being suppressed. They didn't want, you know, whistleblowers had to come out and say this to kind of get it moving. But why does it always happen a month before people start voting?
You tell me. It's obvious. It's like when they did the Hillary Clinton thing. You know, We said the same thing. We said that, you know, what Jim Comey did to Hillary Clinton was outrageous.
Yeah.
Announced the opening of an investigation, was it 3 months before the general election? Closed it, announced that, then announced he reopened it. And I think he reopened it a month before the investigation, then closed it 4 days later. Did he interfere with the election? I don't think it would have been outcome determinative. But yeah, the Department of Justice should not be wielding this kind of power. We want to talk to you about all this, folks. By the way, we're taking your calls and your comments on our social media. Just put your comments in. We're looking at those. And call us at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
Yeah, let's go to Joanne in Ohio on line one. Hey, Joanne.
Hi, guys. Thanks for everything you do. My thing is, nobody's out there talking about this is the guys who, you know, this is the son of the man who stands up there every day and tells people to pay their fair share of taxes. And his kid's not paying his, you know, $1.4 million that he owes. I mean, come on. Yes. This is ridiculous.
So this actually has been a theme of Joe Biden recently, has been it's the rich not paying their taxes. And so, like we were talking about politically, how do you make that statement? And your son gets hit with this $1.4 million unpaid taxes, which is salacious stuff. A lot of it's salacious. About half of it is salacious, I'd say.
Yeah, it's an indictment that was over the top.
Yeah, I mean, it's what you expect, though, now when you talk about Hunter.
Well, it's you expect it from a Department of Justice. This is what I know I'm now sounding like a conspiracy theorist. But you wonder, was this thing written by people in DOJ that would like to see the Democrats have a different nominee? I mean, I know that sounds conspiratorial, but you could have written the same indictment without being so tawdry, okay? But they didn't. So, and then you hear the drumbeat, I'm moving Biden out, and everybody's talking about Newsom coming in or somebody else, and you wonder, is this part of this?
Yeah.
I hate even saying that, but that's how suspect we are right now of the Department of Justice and the FBI.
Yes, and how they're trying to influence both major parties.
Well, look at the influence they're having right now. I mean, I want to put this in context. The president of the United States' son, so you're not a step removed. This is your son. This is your family. Is facing a nine count indictment has been issued against him in California, subject to possibly 17 years if they were to make these sentences all run consecutively. 17 years. You've got the leading Republican nominee and a former president facing four cases involving criminal trials, two of which are in the federal courts, two of which are in the state court system in the United States of America. And there's trials are going on right now and motions are going on right now in cases involving these individuals right now. There will be motions filed in the Hunter case soon.
Yeah.
Trump is already filing them.
He's been in court the last couple days.
Then you got the group that's trying to remove Trump off the ballot with the 14th Amendment challenges that we've been successful at so far, just from the Colorado Supreme Court 2 days ago. But you got to ask yourself, why are the courts so could this have not been done 3 years ago?
I don't understand. I mean, none of this is new.
None of it's new.
It's none of it's breaking. Now, the only thing new was that the people who were supposed to be able to bring these charges would say that 3 years ago, they were told they couldn't,
Correct. Guess.
And that until they got their special counsel real status, as we heard from the whistleblowers, when they went to the various U.S. attorneys that they needed to partner with to bring these charges, these U.S. attorneys said no. So until he was a special counsel, I guess California was denying and D.C. was denying and, yep. and Delaware was denying. But it's also, again,
but there are only charges because of the whistleblowers.
Yeah.
Without those whistleblowers, you are going to get nothing. We're representing two of the whistleblowers that have been involved in a lot of this.
This was done last summer.
Yes.
Remember, it was almost done last summer in July. Wasn't it July when it was like everything fell apart?
Yeah.
With the plea deal?
Of this year. So
yes.
4 months ago.
Yeah, a few months ago.
5 months ago. So, yes. And then they've been working on investigating for 4 or 5 years. So here's the point. The point is, it's political, but the other point is, without the whistleblowers, none of this would have come to light. And your support of the ACLJ makes all that happen. We are beginning our Faith and Freedom year-end drive, and first week is done. Yesterday we called, we had a lot of donors call, and we asked you to call in and why you support the ACLJ. Laverne from Maryland said, I am an ACLJ champion. That means someone who donates each month. And I love supporting you because you can get done so many things that I cannot do myself. Annabelle from California said she is an ACLJ champion and she's reporting for duty. And I want to thank Laverne and Annabelle and all the others that have joined with us on this, by the way. Folks, that's why we are here. We want to get things done. We're fighting coast to coast in the United States and we're fighting globally around the world for the things that you care about. Life, liberty, faith, freedom, democracy, election integrity, military readiness. I mean, the issues go on and on. But we can't do anything without your generous support. So please join us at the ACLJ in our ACLJ Faith and Freedom year-end drive. Folks, this is it. December is the biggest month of the year for the ACLJ. Your support at ACLJ.org means when you donate, it is doubled. It's matched by someone else.
Yeah, it is. And so this is the time where we really need you to support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. And again, those matching donations, they really mean a lot. So you make that donation today of a $50. We've got a donor that's going to match that $50. That's $100 to the ACLJ. And like we said, this is the most important month for the organization for the entire year. So, and how that impacts moving forward into 2024. So support the work of the ACLJ. Be part of our Faith and Freedom Drive. Again, ACLJ.org. We want to thank those of you who are fighting with us and standing with us and who are about to stand with us in making those donations online at ACLJ.org. Welcome back to Secchio. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. We're joined right now by former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Senior Counselor for Global Affairs at the ACLJ. Talk about both these issues involving Hunter Biden, also the attack on the U.S. Military in Iraq and on our embassy in Iraq. But first, let's, you know, starting with Hunter Biden.
Breaking news. Yeah, Mr. Secretary, so now we got a 9-count indictment against Hunter Biden. Now, I'm a little suspicious because this investigation has been going on for 4 years, and this could have been brought a long time ago. And then, of course, we represent whistleblowers, which brought a lot of this to light. So now you got an indictment. Of course, it's 5 weeks out of the Iowa caucus. So now the leading Republican nominee for president has got, you know, 4 criminal cases pending. And now the son of the current president of the United States has 9 charges pending against him in an indictment, and a special counsel still employed looking at his father's handling of classified documents. So call me suspicious, but there you are. All right, we'll come back to him in a minute. I don't think we're going to see what happened. I must have lost him. The suspicion on this is the real issue here that I have. And that is, Mike, I don't know if you heard the question that I asked, or I could restate it for you.
No, I did hear the question, Jay. You know, my first thought was, what an and you litigated, the ACLJ has done amazing work here in this case and for many, many years on things just like this. My first thought was, the special prosecutor should be embarrassed, but he was not going to bring these charges until those whistleblowers showed up. Yep. And the work that you all did essentially shamed him into the requirement to indict someone who clearly behaved in ways that were inconsistent with the law and has lots of problems on top of that.
Right.
The second thing I thought is, you know, I'm sure, I haven't watched it today, but I'm sure that the left media continues to say there's not a shred of evidence that connects this to President Biden himself. But I think this indictment proves fundamentally that's just false. While the indictment is about the failure to pay taxes, the revenue that is confirmed in this, the amount of money that yes. flew to the hands of Hunter Biden, clearly demonstrates that President Biden's phone calls about the weather and all the stories that he didn't associate with Hunter's business colleagues
yep.
is both false and related to these crimes.
Well, even the Burisma issue, which some of it's barred by the statute of limitations, but they have allegations in the complaint, $1 million retainer the first year. But as soon as Joe Biden was out of office, it gets cut in half. Here's the interesting thing to me on this, though. You are getting in the liberal media this kind of, you know, there's nothing putting Biden here. But then they say, but this is another reason it does cloud the issue and maybe there should be another candidate. I think there's a Democratic drumbeat for someone else other than Joe Biden to be the nominee.
I have thought for a long time that it was not very likely that President Biden would run for re-election. He continues to say that he will. But we can all see through the what's played out in these first 3 years, he's not up to this task. He has put Americans more at risk. We've talked about that. Our southern border is wide open. So I think it is still remains a reasonable likelihood that the Democrat Party will put someone forward other than President Biden to run in 2024. And this is just another rationale that some not connected to the campaign would use to say, hey, this dog's not going to hunt in November of next year.
You know, Secretary Pompeo, in the midst of this, we see an attack on our U.S. embassy, a mortar attack. And this is kind of, again, after we've seen drone attacks on our ships in the Mediterranean, the uptick in the danger our U.S. troops face in the Middle East right now is at a level that we have not seen in many years, actually.
All right. We're going to figure this out in a minute. And but you do have this. The uptick in the violence has been unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Mike. No, we got a problem. So, all right, we'll figure that out.
It happens live radio.
Yep. It is
live broadcast.
Folks, it's live radio and it's a Friday, so it always happens on a Friday. So there you go. All right, we'll get back to the secretary next week. We appreciate it. One of the things I want to talk about, though, in all of this, okay, is what does this mean on the political side of this? Okay, on the political side of this is the problem. Politically, I think this makes America look weak across the board. Around the world.
Yeah.
You've got the leading candidates for president of the United States, just like Argentina and Venezuela.
This whole idea of we're going to prosecute, we're going to put all of our politicians in prison, everybody's going to be everybody's a criminal. And now we're alleging that. I mean, remember, when you are saying this, and again, it's not about Joe Biden specifically this time, but I mean, certainly with Donald Trump, it's, you know, your former president's a criminal, your current president's son's a criminal. And what does that sound like? It sounds like the third world. It sounds like not the country we thought we lived in. That does not mean that people who make it to the top in our country shouldn't ever be held liable for breaking the law or should be held to a different standard. But we are supposed to look at whether or not the standards that we are applying are affecting our, like you said, standing in the world, the election process. I mean,
we've got a war in Ukraine and Russia. You got a war in the Middle East, and we're like everybody that's running for president is being indicted.
Yes, and there's not a lot of clarity yet on how big the U.S. role could be in that in a conflict, especially in the Middle East. And then we heard, you know, from Blinken and others. Well, I mean, you know, the real cost could be not the money, but it could be U.S. troops' lives.
No, he said that.
That's talking about Ukraine. And when it comes to the U.S. troops, we've seen 70 attacks on U.S. troops since October 7th. Since the attack by Hamas, there have been 70 attacks on U.S. troops.
All but backed by Iran.
Almost, all of that region of the world.
President Biden was negotiating with at the table until several months ago.
Yes, in all of this region of the world. So all related to the Hamas attack on Israel and the sense that we support Israel. I mean, thankfully, obviously, you don't hear a ton of more about these because the U.S. is very strong. But that is a significant change. I mean, I think it's a reminder, too, to the amount of people, of U.S. troops that are in these situations and in harm's way, potentially, in that region of the world.
But think about this for a moment, too. Let's talk about the issues we've talked about today. The Hunter Biden investigation and the indictments. And they're the whistleblowers that we represented played a large part of that coming even to light. So that was public. Without them, none of this would have happened. That should have happened without them. Should have happened because you shouldn't have needed whistleblowers to get justice. But we're representing those whistleblowers. Then Jordan was just talking about what's going on in the Middle East. Our team at the ECLJ was in Brussels Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And yesterday and today are in Paris. And tomorrow they're in Paris with hostage families speaking to literally dozens and dozens of European Parliament members, hundreds of them, and ambassadors to raise the banner still for these 150 hostages still being held by Hamas. Then you've got the attack on our embassy, and that's showing American weakness. We've got to show strength. And at the American Center for Law and Justice and our global affiliates, including an office in Jerusalem, we're doing just that. Folks, we're in the beginning, first week here, of our Faith and Freedom year-end drive. And yesterday we asked callers why they support our work. And Laverne from Maryland said, I'm an ACLJ champion and I love supporting you because you can get done so many things that I can't do myself. And that's true for all of us, by the way. It takes a group effort here. Annabelle from California said she's an ACLJ champion and she's reporting for duty. Again, thank you, Laverne and Annabelle. Folks, that's why we're here. We're fighting coast to coast and globally for the things that you care about. Life, liberty, faith, freedom. But we can't do anything without your generous support. Join us at ACLJ.org in our Faith and Freedom year-end drive. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. So your donation will be doubled. At ACLJ.org. Ohioans.org. Do it today. We got a half hour coming back up right now.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. Take your calls to 1-800-684-3110. If you want to join the broadcast, that's 1-800-684-3110. So we talked about the indictment on Hunter Biden and gotten into that information. I think, again, we've gotten into what it was. We've gone through what it is. And, of course, there's the separate indictment he's facing in Delaware, this one out of California. We do have calls about this as well. And again, I think that what we want to underscore the most is that without the whistleblowers, and I've seen this time and time again in the conservative media, and I think it's absolutely true, without the whistleblowers, this now special counsel, who wasn't even a special counsel before,
whistleblowers, right,
but was a U.S. attorney who had the power of a special counsel, but not really.
Right.
That without these whistleblowers, none of this would have happened. In fact, we knew that there was a plea deal. It was going to be done last summer. This would have been over for Hunter Biden.
Yes.
And Joe Biden wouldn't be dealing with it. Now, we did also say the legitimate question of, if you flip this, said this was a Republican side, which we see a Republican nominee like Donald Trump going through personally right now, do you think the timing of this just kind of reeks? Now, if this becomes the norm in America, which I hope it does not, because I think if it becomes the norm in America, we are really like a third world country's political system. Let's go back to the phone. We'll go to Todd in Georgia online too. Hey, Todd.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just want to say, whether it's Hillary's illegal server or Hunter Biden's laptop, I think the deep state would have been happy to cover it up if it wasn't for conservative media and members of Congress and your organization representing the whistleblowers. So thank you so much for that. And also, the University of Penn dean was questioned about anti-Semitism,
yes,
and she was also questioned about Chinese money coming in after the Biden Center was established there. And there were classified documents down there, were there not?
Correct. There are. And that investigation, though, doesn't appear to be going. There is a special counsel, but so far he's not recommending charges. But again, you got special counsels investigating both candidates for president of the United States. This is absurd. The classification of documents issue is another one that is reeked with political overtones. Todd, you're right about the whistleblowers. And I want to, again, you know, our clients took a heck of a risk, and we're representing, we're in federal court on one of them. We're in an administrative process on another. We're actually in the D.C. Court of Appeals in one of the cases, and then the others in the administrative process. And these were both award-winning FBI employees. But they shone the light on it. They kind of spotted, the spotlight went on it, and they stood up. And they told the truth. And that is why there's anything here. But there should not have needed to be whistleblowers for justice to have been done. This is a straightforward tax case. They should have indicted it 4 years ago. It would have been pled out, which this I'm sure still will be. And that should have been it. And they shouldn't have brought charges against President Trump, okay, a year and a, you know, 16 months out before an election on really tainted legal theories. But they did. So that's why the ACLJ goes to work, because we also look at justice. I don't think we should be like celebrating that Hunter Biden's gotten indicted. I'm not celebrating. First, I don't wish that on anybody. But we're not celebrating. This is, you point to this absurdity of all of this happening, and it goes back to what Jordan said earlier, DOJ having so much authority. And that's why at the ACLJ, I cannot count the number of cases we are in federal court right now. We're on the other side. I mean, it's dozens. Is the FBI or DOJ? DOJ and all of them. And we are everything they're involved in, folks, that we think's got potential of abuse. The ACLJ is there front and center, and that's why your support of the ACLJ right now is so absolutely critical in our year-end faith and freedom drive.
Yeah, and again, we want you to support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. And again, you hear from people all the time. I think that what Laverne said from Maryland is what we hear so often from people, which is without the ACLJ, it's like I would just feel like I'm out there alone, caring about these issues, but not really knowing where to go to fight, to join with other people to join in the fight. But then I know that if we put our resources together and we fight together, we can have a huge impact. And let me tell you something, wherever you are on this Hunter Biden issue, none of this would have come out today. But for those whistleblowers who would not have blown the whistle if they didn't have representation. like at the ACLJ, because they wouldn't be able to afford it. So we've been in a very different situation. Support the work of the ACLJ, ACLJ. Welcome back to SecQ. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We are going to get the phone calls as well and take those calls. If you want to talk to us on air, there is time for you to join as well at 1-800-684-3110. We'll go to Peggy in New York on line one. Hey, Peggy.
Hi, Peggy.
Hey, Jordan. Hey, Jay. I just want to let you know that I've supported ACLJ for 30 years and continue today. Thank you for all that you do, especially in the pro-life movement.
Thank you so much for standing with us for so long. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I just had a thought when you came on today about their possible reasons for doing this indictment now. They have seen every time they have indicted Donald J. Trump, he has become phenomenally stronger and more liked after each indictment.
Right.
Maybe they're hoping by attacking in an indictment to Biden's son, it'll flip and make people feel like Biden's being attacked and increase his popularity.
Yeah, it's one of two things. I mean, it could be that. You could get that reaction that people galvanize around him and say, you know what, now they're attacking his kids. We're not going to let him attack the kids. Or is it, and this is where, you know, Peggy, we're all kind of guessing here, or is it the Democrats? Because I'm watching CNN, I'm watching MSNBC, and now they're basically saying Biden needs to step aside. Okay, so is this now people saying, oh, now he's got the same taint as Trump. He's got all these legal problems in his family.
That's what we have to watch the next 24 hours, really. That's because, again, it's not going to change that much for Hunter Biden. He himself has faced a lot of allegations and some, you know, salacious.
Yeah, you said this is old news.
The salaciousness that Hunter Biden has survived is pretty massive, and that his dad has survived along with it. So, again, it's really up to Democrats to say, like you said, this is too close to home.
Yep.
This makes all the allegations against Trump that much more meaningless because our guys are being facing the same kind of allegations. We're tax frauds. They're tax cheats, and so everybody's a horrible person. But it's getting a little late.
It is getting a little late.
You know, I think that a lot of that consultant class too, like I've said. Weirdly, on Israel, where Joe Biden, when he speaks, has been very strong, and his own staff doesn't back that up.
So, to change topics, our ACLJ team is preparing letters that are going to every major college in the United States on this anti-Semitism issue. And it's because of the great work of our friend Elise Stefanik, the congresswoman from New York. She asked a question to the University of Pennsylvania president, as well as a Harvard president, that has sent shockwaves through the academic community now, including their board of directors. So let's take a look back. This is what Representative Stefanik said or asked to Elizabeth McGill, the president of the University of Pennsylvania.
Ms. McGill, at Penn, does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Penn's rules or code of conduct? Yes or no?
If the speech turns into conduct, it can be harassment, yes.
I am asking, specifically calling for the genocide of Jews, does that constitute bullying or harassment?
If it is directed and severe or pervasive, it is harassment.
So the answer is yes.
It is a context-dependent decision, Congresswoman.
It's a context-dependent decision. That's your testimony today. Calling for the genocide of Jews is depending upon the context. That is not bullying or harassment. This is the easiest question to answer. Yes, Ms. McGill.
And she went on. I mean, some of the other ones Harvard did the same thing with this context stuff. And, of course, it was aimed at Jewish students on their campuses. Well, she got a lot of flack at the University of Pennsylvania. And her job, I'm sure, is on the line, as it should be. Should
it
be
definitely
gone,
is
actually.
On the line, yeah.
Here's what she announced yesterday. It was done via video, but we're going to play you the audio. This is the apology, so to speak.
There was a moment during yesterday's congressional hearing on anti-Semitism when I was asked if a call for the genocide of Jewish people on our campus would violate our policies. In that moment, I was focused on our university's longstanding policies aligned with the U.S. Constitution, which say that speech alone is not punishable. I was not focused on, but I should have been, the irrefutable fact that a call for genocide of Jewish people is a call for some of the most terrible violence human beings can perpetrate. It's evil, plain and simple.
Are you going to take action against your students? What's missing in that statement?
Well, and also, this was...
And by the way, when they say context matters, here's the problem. So unless you're actually going to kill that Jewish student or harm that Jewish student right then...
They think that's protected speech.
They think that's protected speech. But they have... See, here's the thing. They have all these protections on these campuses for safe zones, safe places, for 100 different reasons.
And 100
except
different...
if you're Jewish. If you're Jewish on the second day of Hanukkah, you know, no, that doesn't work.
No, I said, you know, if you were to get up and say, I want to kill all gays... You would be out of that school and, like, I mean, gone.
What about if you said it about a Muslim group or religious group?
And you might be arrested.
Well, of course. It's anybody. It's what the Israelis said, by the way. It was Me Too, except if you're Jews, to the United Nations.
Yeah.
You know, it's a Me Too movement, except if you're a Jewish woman in Israel.
Yep.
Then nobody says anything. So this is the real issue. It was her response was not much better. So let's play the next part of her response.
I want to be clear. A call for genocide of Jewish people is threatening, deeply so. It is intentionally meant to terrify a people who have been subjected to pogroms and hatred for centuries and were the victims of mass genocide in the Holocaust. In my view, it would be harassment or intimidation.
Nice try. Okay. Because in your view, context, it's all context. So your view was what you answered before the Congress under oath. This is your public relations department trying to fix this.
And the legal team, too, and I think major donors. What might actually be...
The University of Pennsylvania Wharton Board has already called for her removal. And let me tell you, that board is the most powerful board in that university system.
You got this happening at Harvard. You see it in other schools as well. Now, listen, could it be the reckoning that we've needed to see in higher education? I mean, listen, you don't want to say, first of all, it's not worth October 7th. To get that. But you do have to take these moments and get anything positive you can out of them.
As horrible as they are.
Right, these horrible moments. And this might be one of those moments where, you know, wasn't the craziness of who they were protecting on campus.
Right.
But then when it came down to an actual people group of a decent part of their student body, you know, Jewish students in these higher education schools and their donors,
right,
that they weren't willing to defend them.
They were not.
And they weren't willing to use their speech police against them. In their case, you could call on killing Jews if it was contextual enough. If you contextualize it enough, and it wasn't too specific to a specific Jew.
Yeah. If it wasn't you or me. If it was 10 other people randomly.
Right.
Nonsense. Let's take Justin's call out of California on line one. Justin, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Sure. Yeah, I got to my question quick here, two-tier question, but what's the motivation behind these top-tier university presidents to not condemn this kind of speech on campuses? I mean, to me, it's insane. I don't understand the benefit of trying to call Jews the oppressors, and are they just taking the side of the rebellious instinct of young students to kind of rebel against anything?
I think, Justin, there's more money coming from the Muslim world right now.
Yeah, the Muslim world and the Chinese.
You can get your government
of China.
All these
are putting in billions of dollars into these universities.
I'm pretty sure if not every one of these institutions, almost most of them have schools in the Muslim world.
Yes.
Not a program. I'm talking like an entire institute, like a UPenn.
Dubai or whatever
or
it might
Doha.
Be. Yeah. So here's the problem.
So who are their biggest donors right now? It may not be the Jewish donor with $100 million. It might literally be the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
With a billion-dollar gift.
Right, building a hospital or a research facility in the Middle East right now under the name Penn.
Right.
You know, or under the name Harvard.
But this is...
Or MIT.
So what happened was, they didn't want to offend... They were willing to defend the Jewish donor, but not the Muslim donor for that very reason. And so that's what I think this is. So when they put all that context, they didn't go in there not knowing that was going to be the question asked, folks. So here's what we're doing at the ACLJ. This is important for people to understand. We are notifying college campuses what the rules actually are. I don't think the Penn and Harvard professors and presidents are going to get away with this. I think they're going to have serious issues that they're going to have to deal with on their own campuses. But your support of the ACLJ at this year-end challenge, our Faith and Freedom year-end challenge, now includes on the college campuses to make sure these students are safe and they can learn instead of being threatened. So what we've set up is a team in the ACLJ that is putting this, I think the letter is going to be ready, I think even later today, that's going to go and we're going to post it online to universities all over the country. Your support of the ACLJ allows that to happen. And yesterday we asked our callers, why they support the ACLJ. And you heard it today again from the caller that came and she said, I've been donating to the ACLJ for 30 years. That is the reason we're able to do this. And by the way, that this includes not only these cases, but this broadcast that you're hearing or seeing 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year. So, folks, we want you to join us in this global fight for freedom. The fight we have here from coast to coast in the United States as well. Go to ACLJ.org. Become part of the ACLJ's Faith and Freedom year-end drive. And any donation you make will be doubled. It's going to be matched by somebody else. December's the biggest month of the year. We already know today we got a very large gift online. A $10,000 gift online came in this morning, to which we say thank you. But $30 also makes a big difference. $5. ACLJ.org for the Faith and Freedom Drive. And this is, again, December, most important month of our year. Logan's going to be joining us. We got an update on a couple other things, including the movie Jingle Smells.
All right, welcome back to Secchio. We're going to go back to the phones to Walt Warren in Idaho on line four. Hey, Warren, welcome to Secchio. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. And I do report to duty. I'm an ACL champion. Don't have a lot, but we're champion. And
that's thank great. You.
Thank you. My Warren. Question is, with the indictments, if he's found, is Biden able to pardon him?
Of course. The pardon power is plenary. So the President of the United States can pardon on any federal offense. He can issue a pardon. Not on state offenses, but this is federal offenses. Yes, President Biden has the authority to pardon.
Yeah.
That's straightforward.
You know, see how this lays out? You see how this election plays up?
If either way, reason, he probably gets pardoned.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Every president does it. I mean, it's not an unusual
move. Joe Biden's into his second term. He's not up for re-election again. So if he wins again, he does it. And if he doesn't win, he does it before he's out.
Can we end the weekend on a positive note? Would that be nice?
Yeah, I mean, just because, yes, I think that all this is, you know, prosecuting each other because of politics is not a good place for America to be.
No.
When we look at the rest of the world.
And canceling people out because of their views isn't a good place to be either, which leads into Logan being in the studio with us.
I'm back.
Yes, he is, because...
The
smell is here.
Hey,
you're on Vudu. Rumble.
We are. We have
Rumble still preferred.
Yeah, Jingle Smells, our brand new Christmas comedy. The ACLJ produced a terrific movie starring John Schneider and Ben Davies and a lot of great cast. Eric Roberts, you've seen all of them come on these shows, talk about it. Victoria Jackson. Yesterday we had on Jim Brewer. So we've got a big comedy cast, but it's a big comedy with a lot of heart and a lot of laughs. It is available right now. We've been talking about it for the last few weeks. It premiered on Thanksgiving Day, had a huge, huge opening weekend. We were really thrilled with it. And now you can watch it at home on a lot of different options. So right now...
Let's take everybody through the options first.
That's right. We did this without the Hollywood system. We did this without big Hollywood distribution companies getting involved. We're able to do this without the red tape. And that means you should be excited about supporting this kind of movie. It's a big family comedy you can watch with everyone. It is available right now on jinglesmells.movie. And that will show you the three options. Right now, we have Rumble, which is our preferred premier platform, the number one free speech platform. It is on Rumble. You can watch it there. We've also made some new options here, including Vudu, V-U-D-U, which is... Fandango, you probably have it on your television. You probably already have it built in, even if you don't know you do. It's been around for a long time. It was part of Walmart's system.
Smart TVs, that is an app you likely have got.
You almost definitely have it. It's available on there. You'll see it. You just got to search Jingle Smells. Again, there's direct links on our website as well. And then if you want a physical copy, for Christmas coming up, you can get signed copies even from our friend John Schneider. We did a deal with him. Again, not with the Hollywood system. We did a deal specifically with John Schneider to provide the DVDs. So you can get hard copies, autographed or not, through John Schneider Studios. Again, all the links are on jinglesmells.movie. Again, it's a big Christmas comedy. This is a great weekend to start your Christmas traditions off. We hope this becomes a tradition for everyone every year.
So there's a couple of things about this movie you need to know. Number one, it's an ACLJ film, which means the ACLJ is getting revenue off this. So your purchasing of the movie allows us to, again, make more movies and more content. So we appreciate that. But number two, it also has, it's a comedy and it is funny, but it has a very real message too.
Oh, yeah. It deals a lot about cancel culture. It also deals with protecting our troops and our military vets who come back with PTSD and what that looks like. And we do it in a way that kids can enjoy, families can enjoy. It's subtle. It's there, but you're going to get the message. And obviously, there's a big, strong faith element in the film as well. So as much as there is, maybe you say, Christmas magic and whimsy that comes through, there's also a very dedicated amount of content to The Real Reason for Christmas. And I can announce also, we have a special Christmas sale price right now through the rest of the Christmas season. It went from $19.99 and now it's available to stream at $14.99.
And you can stream, and once you have it, you've got it.
And once you have it, yeah, if you make the purchase price on Rumble, you can watch as many times as you want. And then on Vudu, as long as you pay that purchase price of $14.99, you can watch it as many times you want into, as long as you have a television with a streaming device, it's going to be available there, which is very cool, and they've been great to deal with.
And you put together, this was quite an all-star cast. I mean, the cast in this, I mean, you got two alums from SNL.
Yep.
I mean, you've got John Schneider, who, of course, needs no introduction. Eric Roberts.
Yep. Academy Award nominee. You got Brad Stein. You got Ben Davies. You know him probably most recently from The Daily Wire, and he's been on this broadcast as well.
Yep.
And he is a producer there, but he's also sort of on camera, as well as he's in movies, big Christian movies that you're probably familiar with, like War Room or Courageous. He plays, and he's in, if you look up, the guy's probably starred in 20 movies. Obviously, you said John Schneider. It is a terrific cast. James Storm and Dylan Hornswoggle-Postel, who are professional wrestlers, you know, from their time in WWE and Impact Wrestling.
Right.
Both guys who I've worked with before and are incredible. I would not put anyone in this movie that I didn't love. And of course, we're all in it as well. We all make appearances. The Jay Sekulow band is in it. Jordan is in it. Jordan's wife is in it. I'm briefly in it. Keep your eyes peeled. My wife is in it. And it is just a whole lot of fun. Will, our executive producer, he's in it. And even Andy Economo makes an appearance.
Judge Economo for that one.
Yes, you have to watch that.
So let me tell you again, folks. This helps you. We're trying to impact every venue, arena, area we can hit.
Absolutely. I think that's really important, is for the ACLJ to not just be known for its legal work, which is obviously incredibly important, not just known for our international work, incredibly important,
but also radio broadcast
we know what the number one part of influencing culture is, and that is to be a part of media. A lot of people you want to reach are not going to turn on this broadcast. A lot of people you want to reach are not going to turn on cable news, but they will decide to watch a Christmas movie. And this year, it's available, like I said, on Rumble and now on Vudu, a mainstream platform. It is available on DVD. And then even next year, we hope this becomes years and years. We've already had offers from major streaming and television networks to air it next year or to be part of it or to broadcast it, because number one, they see the reaction coming from our audience that is so rabid and so excited. They see the positives that are coming from it. And honestly, they even see the negatives, because the negatives that have come out of this movie just show, because you can watch this movie, you're going to love it. I'm going to tell you, I've watched it hundreds of times. You're going to love it. People who are giving it bad reviews are people who have not seen it and are the people who you expect to give it bad reviews. Sure. They are the hardcore left that sees a name like Sean Hannity as an executive producer or anyone involved with the ACLJ. They're immediately going to slam it. They sell Jim Brewer, Victoria Jackson. They know where their politics maybe lands, and that's enough. But we know that this can get in front of a lot of people, because most of the audience doesn't care about their opinion. They care about having something you can actually watch with your family and actually enjoy. No Hollywood agendas shoved in this. It is a great piece. I love it. I hope you love it. It is, we're just a couple weeks from Christmas.
Post reviews, which...
Yeah, post. That'd be great. You know, I'll tell you this. If you have already seen it, which thousands of you have, go over to IMDb, the Internet Movie Database. Give us a good review there. That would be great. Give us a 10-star rating. Because you know what happened? There's a lot of 10-stars and there's a lot of 1-stars. And guess what those 1-stars are? People who have never seen it, who were review bombing it because they decided that, you know why? They're scared. They're scared that this is the message that gets
the Hollywood
out.
System.
That we could do this without...
With Sean Hannity.
Who's in it. With Sean Hannity, who's in it. And without the Hollywood system, we could do this ourselves. This is how we can change Hollywood. It's not about just replacing it, coming up with alternative media. It's actually about influencing it and being in front of people's eyeballs. And we're doing that with Jingle Smells.
We've got thousands of you are watching online. Thousands and thousands of you are listening right now. But if you're online, it's really easy, especially if you're on Rumble. Just go right there and you can just put in Jingle Smells and it'll come up. Again, on Vudu, it's now available. John Schneider Studios, if you want to get the DVD, or just go to jinglesmells.movie. And we encourage you to do that right now or this week, and we appreciate it. We also appreciate your direct support also for the ACLJ. Listen, you buy Jingle Smells, it's helping the ACLJ. You donate to the ACLJ, it's helping the ACLJ. You could do that at aclj.org in our year-end matching challenge. But I do encourage you to go to jinglesmells.movie. Now, I'm going to be on Sean Hannity's broadcast this afternoon, and so is
Jim Brewer. So, you know, right from the movie, and he came on here yesterday. Great guy, a comedy legend, and just been someone, a great person to connect with, another person who is not afraid to take on Hollywood and do something very different.
I want you everybody to have a great weekend.
Yeah, support the work.
the ACLJ, aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We'll talk to you on Monday.